This is fresh air. Roy Lichtenstein put wham and blam into his paintings, literally. His early paintings from the 60s were inspired by comic books. In fact, they look just like frames from romance comics, war comics, and Mickey Mouse comics, including the thought balloons and the Sacco Pow exclamations. Lichtenstein still uses the visual language of comics, bright colors outlined in black, often filled in with colored dots. But his subject matter has recently shifted to interiors and to advertising images from the pages of the phone book. Lichtenstein is one of the founders of pop art. He brought the subject matter and style of popular culture into the fine arts. The Guggenheim Museum has mounted a major retrospective of his work, which runs through January 16th. I asked Lichtenstein why he first wanted to do his own versions of romance comics and war comics.
I guess what I liked about both of them is that they're both emotional in different ways. I mean, the war things are full of action, and the women are crying,
right. You
know, or waiting for telephone calls or something. And that is the stereotype portrayed in comic books at the time, which really reflected the feeling of society. And but the idea of doing highly emotional subject matter in a very dry, mechanical, removed way seemed to symbolize something about where society was. I mean, wars were being waged at a push of the button and things like that.
In one of your love comics, a worried woman is asking the man who is with her, it's not an engagement ring, is it? And in the catalog that accompanies your show at the Guggenheim, they reprint the comic that you base that on. It's from a Winnie Winkle comic.
Mm-hmm.
And the context that comes from, the woman is saying, Perry, about this piece of jewelry you're planning to buy for Tanya. And he says, I just want to show her how much she means to me. And then the woman says, It's not an engagement ring, is it?
I know. It's a completely different thing when it's taken out of context.
Yeah. So, what interested you in that particular Winnie Winkle?
Well, it wasn't the Winnie Winkle. It was just a pretty girl and a handsome man,
mm-hmm.
and those stereotypes. And the cliche of being enthralled about engagement rings. I mean, I'm sure everyone is even now, but it seemed like a male and a female thing to do.
Now, did you ever hear from the original artists who did the strips that you...
Well, I've really only heard from William Overgaard, and he wrote me a nice letter saying he was so pleased to see his work in the Guggenheim Museum. he did Steve Roper, and he's said several things which are quite cogent about pop artists and cartoonists and things like that. But he's really, I think, the only one I've heard from. Nobody's ever said, you know, you stole my cartoon or something like that.
Another love comic that ends up, or love comic type image that ends up really being about the art world is a woman is saying to the man, why Bart, darling, this painting is a masterpiece. My, soon you'll have all of New York clamoring for your work. did that come from something, or did you just make that one up?
No, it came from almost all the lines come from. I can't make up lines like that. I think that was a line connected to that particular cartoon. I may have edited it a little bit. Sometimes they take lines from other cartoons or two together,
uh-huh.
or edit it in some way. You know, I want it to sound either more general or more confused or whatever strikes me, you know, about what I liked about the line. And of course, then when I did it, it was didn't seem as though all of New York was going to be clamoring for my work. But
little did you know. all of your paintings are, maybe I should say most of your paintings, mm-hmm. Come from print matter, from a two-dimensional source, from a,
mm-hmm.
from comics or from advertisements or in some cases from other paintings. You seldom, if ever, paint from life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I mean, you know, there's the tradition in art that mm-hmm. you're painting from the still life or the model or the landscape. You're painting from life, not from a reproduction of life.
Yeah. Well, I know that. I even did that before. I mean, when I was in the 50s, I had several shows in New York, which not many people know about, and the work was kind of expressionist and cubist and, you know, very derivative in retrospect. And it was from historical paintings or paintings of cowboys and Indians or something like that. So I always seem to have used two-dimensional sources. And, you know, I mean, I feel that artists are always using two-dimensional sources. They just think they're using three-dimensional sources. In other words, if we all started to learn to draw and paint simply by looking at the model, we'd all be painting like children. You know, it really is that you're painting in terms of the history of art. And you're really making a drawing of a life model the way Michelangelo did. You know, I don't mean that there have been no advances in this, but mostly all of that seeing is learned from looking at two-dimensional sources, not three-dimensional sources. That's not really the reason I do it, but...
The real reason is...
The real reason is I have no idea.
Right, okay.
Like the real reason for everything.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
You did a series of paintings of brushstrokes, and of course, in abstract expressionism, you know, brushstrokes were brushstrokes and dripping paint were about what it was all about. I mm-hmm. mean, it was about seeing the action, the process of the painting, the hand of the painter, mm-hmm. the drip of the paint.
Yeah.
But of course, the brushstrokes that you painted had no real dripping paint at all. I mean, mm-hmm. the drips were carefully colored in.
Mm-hmm.
Was this your comment on abstract expressionism, this kind of ironic yeah. version of brushstrokes?
No, I think it was a comment on the comparison between that bravura act that they did with paint and the my way of representing it, which is it's where I'm painstakingly drawing the brushstroke up, you know, as though I were painting something. Difficult to paint, you know, and that one is romantic and the other is classical, and that it's really a drawing of an ideal brushstroke or something that looks like a brushstroke, and it doesn't fool you. I mean, you don't think it's real, that it's really a brushstroke, but you think it's a picture of a brushstroke, and, you know, that's a kind of absurd thing to do. And it's so... It has that built-in absurdity, and that's the reason I like it.
My guest is artist Roy Lichtenstein. There's a retrospective of his work at the Guggenheim Museum in New York. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Artist Roy Lichtenstein is my guest. There's a chapter in the catalog that accompanies your Guggenheim show, a chapter that's called Clichés into Icons. Mm-hmm. Is that what you see yourself as doing, transforming clichés into icons?
Well, I like the idea, and I do think that there's a relationship between classical art and cliché. I mean, the Greeks or Romans, we look at as trying to make ideal figures or ideals of beauty and that sort of thing. And so are comic strip people. They're making an ideal pretty girl or handsome man or whatever the thing is, rocket ship. And but one is thought of as important and the other isn't. And but by making archetypes, I am trying to make them into icons. And if you... Particularly even in sculpture where I isolate something, you know, it can be a lamp that's standing on its light rays, you know, or something like that, or a German expressionist head or something. I try to make it as cliched or as typical or whatever it is. And that's really the same thing, I think, as... making it classical.
You grew up in New York. What kind of pop culture and high culture were you exposed to when you were young?
Well, when I was young was eons ago, and there was very little pop culture. You know, there was no teenager economy. There was no, you know, there were toy stores that had wooden toys. Remember those? And but you know, you wouldn't think of that as being pop.
There were movies. So
there were movies.
There was music.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well. There was pop music, but if you're thinking of Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, I don't know. Of course, that's my childhood, really. But you know, as I matured, of course, it got into 50s and pop music and things like that. But you know, I don't think I was at all immersed in pop culture. That wouldn't really be. It would almost like being in France or something, you know. I mean, I used to go to the Metropolitan Museum and the Museum of Natural History and things like that. You know, there just weren't, there really wasn't the big pop culture. Maybe that's why I'm struck by it, because I see it from a distance. Because, you know, in 1961, when I did my first pop thing, I was 38 years old, so I, but I had gone through the 50s and all of that, but I was older, you know, so.
Well, mm-hmm. No, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
No, they were there.
They'd been around for a really long time.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So were you familiar with them from your youth?
Sure.
Did they matter to you?
Not, but, well, as much as they mattered to anyone, I don't think I had any special interest in it. But I probably read comic books with Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, or maybe had toys like that. I don't know.
You know what I'm gonna ask you about? The style that you paint in, that style that looks mm-hmm. like mechanical reproduction but isn't. This is a style that you appropriated from mass culture.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me at this point it's become something else. Mm-hmm. It's become mm-hmm. your style. It's become your
mm-hmm.
personal style.
Mm-hmm.
So painting in that style must feel really different than it did when you started. It must have really become a way to express yourself, to a very personal vocabulary for you, one that you must be very comfortable with.
Yeah, I think that's, you're explaining it very well, that because it originally had that meaning, this is printing and so forth, and I don't think that's, even though it still may mean that, it certainly not doesn't reveal anything, and it's just become a way of making colors. So now, or tonalities, I use dots and diagonals and dots that graduate from thick to thin, and I mix them up in the painting with other colors, and it's it just became a way of working. And if I could find a way out, I would be happy to do that, you know, but the way has to mean something. And I tried one group, which I like a lot, of landscapes are made of brushstrokes, some of which are real brushstrokes, and some are cartooned brushstrokes, and they work together in the painting, and it gives the painting a certain interesting surface, which I would have disdained a few years ago. But so I'm trying to do various things and trying to extend it, but I don't want to make it complicated or decorative. And I like the plainness of it, but it is just the way I work. And it's interesting that what would become every man's style, I mean, you know, is very recognizable. So it becomes a signature. I don't want to do it for that reason, but I...
No, but that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You see one of your paintings now, and you don't think, oh, he's copying the mass reproduction mm-hmm. style from comics and advertising. You think, oh, it's a Lichtenstein.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So how does it feel to be reunited with all your paintings at the Guggenheim Retrospective?
Oh, well, I'm thrilled at that, because they did a wonderful job of putting them in and lighting and everything. And I thought it'd be very difficult to show, but they do seem to me anyway, to to look wonderful, and it's great to see paintings I haven't seen since I did them.
That's right, because you sell them, and then you don't have access to them after that.
Yeah, I mean, I may see them in a museum, or I may see a collector who has one or something, but by and large, there are many paintings I haven't seen for 25 years or something. So it's I love to see them, and it's nice that they're doing it, and so I'm in sort of paradise, and you know, extremely happy about the thing.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
The Roy Lichtenstein retrospective at the Guggenheim Museum in New York runs through January 16th, then travels to Los Angeles and Montreal. This is Fresh Air.